We made it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. It is a Friday night in Los Angeles, and I am coming to you live as per usual from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location deep behind the Orange Curtain, relocated an undisclosed amount of feet underground. We've in the bunker, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. This is another 24 hours have gone by and we haven't gotten blown up yet. So that's the good news. I got to circle back to this from earlier in the week. Crazy. Now, this is funny. You remember earlier in the week that that guy over at Google who wrote the memo saying, hey, look, first of all, Google is a company. We want to make Google better. And the way to make Google better is if we all are able to talk openly. So let's have an open discussion about gender. He writes it all out, tries to have an open discussion, and gets canned for it. So he's making the rounds. And he, you know, he's become active on Twitter and he's doing interviews. And he may actually turn this into quite a good little business because people are, you know, people are interested very much to hear his story. But behind the scenes is a whole different argument, which is this unified shrill voice talking about how this guy who wrote the memo should never have based his, I don't know, his opinions on science. That's the outrage from the left. And I'll explain. This fits into a greater context of liberal absurdity. So let's peel away the layers here. Let's get to the core of the onion, if you will. And I promise you, you'll all be crying before you know it. So there was this piece in Slate, Stop Equating Science with Truth, Science in quotation marks. Now, of course, as soon as you see liberals using the word science in quotation marks, it's not real science. Now, when we conservatives use science in quotation marks, we're talking about global warming, which, of course, is real science. That science is indisputable. You can never criticize global warming science. I mean, never mind that there's a legitimate dispute about it in the community, that there are a number of leading scientists that think it's and have written about it's a load of crap. But what happens to them? They get silenced. And why do they get silenced? They get silenced because it does not fit in with the orthodoxy of the politics, which is always triumphant when it comes to liberalism. It's always a political ideology that dominates, and the science is only meant to be a supporting actor. And the only point that the writer of this memo had made, his only point was that when it came to science, this is, look, women, they're on balance dealing with broad averages, to which there are, of course, numerous exceptions. Women are different than men. And I, as a man who happens to love women, am totally okay with that. And I know a number of women who love men who are totally okay with it, too. That's the absurdity here. You know, we don't all want to just be the same. I mean, I'm so confused. At one point in school, they teach us, celebrate our differences. Then they say, no, we're all the same, but different. Oh, but over here, we've got people who are gay, and over here, we've got people that are straight and trans and questioning, and I don't know what else. So are we the same? Are we exactly alike? Or are we all divided up into groups? Give me an answer on that. I don't know. I'm just a guy in my mid-30s trying to figure out this game of life. I'm an employer. I've got employees. What's the right? I mean, I can't even keep track of what the latest pronoun is. But the hilarious thing to me is that the left, a lot of people who try to base their political ideology on something, back it up with science as a hard fact. Now, I think we know in mathematics, for example, that 1 + 1 = 2. But if you go to your doctor, okay, and this is, I'll throw this out there. You go to your doctor and you look to solve some higher level problem. I just went in for my physical so I can talk about this. No, I'm healthy. Everything's good. I know I've been a little high energy this week. It's just the coffee. Trust me, my blood pressure is A-okay. But you go to one doctor and they give you one opinion. And you go to you take the same test. You take the same scan or blood test or whatever it is. You take it to a different doctor and there's a different opinion. And do you know why this is? It's simple. Every time you take a scientific theory back to a community of experts for reevaluation, the theory evolves. Now, there are certain things where we can truly laugh and call doubters of something of flat earthers. And those would be people that think that the earth is flat. Okay? I mean, yes, we've been to space. We've looked down at the planet. It appears to be spherical. You win. And there, of course, are other settled theories. But I'm trying to make light of this a little bit. You have certain things that just aren't established. And in medicine, and you know this, you've been to the doctor, and maybe you've been frustrated. You go to one specialist, they say one thing, another guy says another thing, and what are you supposed to do? And yet then you go and you read the New York Times, I'm not picking on you, we're all guilty of this. You go and read the New York Times, and what? You read that, you know, global temperatures are up, you know, 2.6%, and you go, oh my, that's it. Man-made global warming, because these three scientists that they cite in this article say so. That's the absurdity of it. And now science that has gotten into deep levels of biology, where this guy, Damore was his name, the Google guy who got fired for writing that memo that said, gosh forbid, there are some differences between men and women. We're different. You know, maybe women don't want to, as a group, sit around and just code on their computer, staring at a computer screen. Maybe women want to, more than men, be collaborative, talk to humans, be creative. And the whole point of the piece was to challenge Google to maybe re-examine this idea of just attracting women into positions for the sake of having women, without changing the position in a way that would adapt to women. And then, of course, the final conclusion is one that I beat here to a bloody pulp, which is, just let's get the best person for the job. Gasp. Best person for the job. That's it. Man, woman, midget, I mean, white, black, I don't care. The best person for the job. And we carve out exceptions to these rules all the time. And the exceptions that we carve out are ideological. They're based on promoting diversity, or based on promoting, you know, women or people of color. And this, to me, just seems so silly, because if we want to move into and become, if we want to evolve into a society that is post-racial, that views men and women the same, where equality is in our way of thinking, the idea has got to be that we treat people as people and we do not look at any of their other, we'll call them naturally born, characteristics. This is exactly the case against affirmative action. The gender promotion deal right now is so similar to affirmative action. And I've got a big question for you on affirmative action. Because the proponents of it, those good people out there who promote affirmative action, say it has to. We can't have a post-racial society right now. We, Sam, we're not ready for it. And the people that promote gender equality, we're not ready to just hire the best person. We need to promote women up because women have not had the same opportunities because of sexism. Aha, intriguing prospect, sexism. And the same is, of course, for minorities because of racism. So let's go with the affirmative action deal. And this all ties back to the Google memo. Trust me, this all fits into it because his argument was DeMoore's argument against these type of silly practices at Google was that you're putting people in positions just for the sake of their of who they are and not the qualities that they actually bring to the job. And so with affirmative action, if the arguments that I hear, Sam, you don't understand, you grew up privileged, which I could give you a host of examples of how that's just total nonsense. But at any rate, you grew up privileged. That guy over there or that gal over there, they need a leg up. They didn't go to the high school that you went to, Sam. So they need to get into school X in order to, and the only way to get in there is if we lower the standards a bit for them. So that's what we do. We call it affirmative action. It's this great, nice, beautiful, big word. It's supposed to make us feel all warm and fuzzy. So then we do that. We get them into Harvard, or we get them, you know, we get that person who maybe could have qualified into a UC now can go to Yale. But explain to me this. Why do we have affirmative action for graduate school? Makes no sense. In theory, we already leveled the playing field for undergrad. You've given the opportunity of a life. There it is. Boom. Nothing. There's nothing that can be said really to counter that. Well, they still need to fill a leg up. This infuriates me. And do you know why? Because it perpetuates racism. It perpetuates stereotypes because what you have is a situation that was described very, very, very specifically by Clarence Thomas, who's a Supreme Court justice, who went to top Ivy League schools, but as a beneficiary of affirmative action, a beneficiary that he did not want to be because he always felt sitting in class that, you know, there are people looking at him saying, you don't belong here. We know how you got in here. We know why you're sitting in that chair. And we know, this is the most damning thing, we know you're less qualified. And he writes about this, explaining in part why he was a conservative and had, you know, very strong conservative views and is very against affirmative action. A lot of these discriminatory feelings were coming from liberals. See, because you know, that's the way it is. I mean, it's and from anybody there. And it, but I, for me, think that our society ought to be one where everyone's abilities are measured by the same ruler, by the same measuring stick. Here are the qualifications required to enter a school. Here are the qualifications required to get a job. And let our abilities decide. And I think it's at that point that you begin to really have feelings of equalities and moving to a post-racial society and moving into a society where sexism starts to move by the wayside. Because what will the end result of Google's policy be? Sure, they fired this guy. He's out the door. Done and over. Sayonara, James Damore. Now what? You want to add women to the programming department without maybe changing some things around? What are you going to do? What you have is, because you have fewer women in the field, that's a fact. That's a numerical fact. And I would assume working for Google is a selective process. Yes, can we agree on that? You've got a fixed number of seats. And now you want to 50-50 it up, even it up, men and women. There will be fewer female applicants. The quality of female applicants in every seat on average, will be lower than that of the men. And you tell me what the quiet murmuring around Google headquarters will be. Now, nobody will dare to say it out on the open, but it will be that quiet racism, even among these San Francisco liberals, just like Clarence Thomas described. And it only serves to perpetuate the stereotype, the very stereotype that women are trying to overcome, which is we're just as qualified as men, not less so. Very difficult to do when the buzz inside of a company, inside of a college, inside of any institution is that, hey, you have that job because of a quota. And that's what I think we ought to fix. All right, Sam Rogowski, don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. And I, you know, just launching into everything, I forgot the phone number. Let me remind you, 800-222-5222. And the email, sam@samnation.com. All right, speaking about diversity in the workplace and that Google memo, the writer, James Damore, of that Google memo now is making the rounds. You may have seen him on various media outlets. And so I think that this conversation about what he wrote about there actually being some differences between the sexes and that maybe companies shouldn't be so monolithic in their opinion and they should listen to opposing viewpoints. All of this is now coming back. We will be talking about this for weeks, if not months to come. It's a big story that continues to develop. And I enjoy talking about this because I have some years now of practical experience hiring and firing, training people, training young people, middle-aged people, older people, working with professionals. And I don't want to belabor the point, but to me, this is a topic that's so profoundly interesting because I've experienced it and I've lived it. And I'm also coming from a perspective of a greedy capitalist who just wants to make money. You know, I just want to make money. And for me, the best pathway to achieving highest profitability is to get the best people for the job. And so it doesn't, you know, I'm always baffled when these diversity arguments are made because I know, you know, diversity doesn't really do anything for me. And there's a great piece here in Quillette. And the author of it is a scientist who has, I think he's written something like 25 books on human sexuality. His name is Jeffrey Miller, and he's a psychology professor at the University of New Mexico. And some of his, an enormous scholar in this field. And he was one of the people that were cited in this article. By the way, all five of the authors that were cited in the scientific journal in Quillette responding to the Google memo were all in largely agreeing with James Damore and the fundamentals of what he wrote in that memo. And one of the things that caught my eye, especially in particular about this professor from New Mexico, is he talks about how the Google memo, the diversity programs that it cites, the dogma that Google has, it relies on these two basic core assumptions, okay? And one of them is that the human sexes, that men and women have exactly the same minds, same traits, same abilities, aptitudes, motivations, that we're the same. Remember, I just was just talking about this, how we're just the same. And the other one, okay, you know, the other assumption is that the human sexes and races, we're so radically different. We have radical different backgrounds, perspectives, and insights that companies should hire and increase their diversity. So as we bring that diversity of backgrounds, of perspectives, to bear upon the competitive advantage of said business. You following me on this? So on one hand, we're the same. And on the other hand, no, we're so radically different that we got to bring all that diversity in and make ourselves, va-va-voom, va-va-vang, we are going to be cool, right? That's the idea. And they contradict each other. You can't be both. It's not possible. And I'm looking at it too. Look, the fundamental thing here is this, if as sexes and as races, we're no different at all. If we're at the, you know, if we are, as I was taught in school as a kid in the 80s, we're all exactly the same on the inside. That's my dogma. We're all human. Okay, so we're all the same on the inside. There's no practical business sense for diversity. There's no business sense to it. And so I think, you know, it certainly isn't something that ought to be mandated by the state. It's not something that ought to be encouraged. Google's free to choose. If they think that this is good for their business, so be it. But I think a legitimate argument, a legitimate conversation needs to be had whether or not really this is good for any organization's bottom line, and whether it's good for our society as a whole to promote people up strictly because of their gender or because of their race. All right, Sam Rogowski, we're headed here for the news with John Wolf, and then I have some gems from Canada. You do not want to miss this. Speaking of females, the Canadian Prime Minister, back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Bottom of the hour, Friday night, weekend is upon us. Are you driving somewhere, doing something cool? I hope so. And the number here on the program, 800-222-5222, if you'd like to be on the program. sam@samnation.com is the email. I do check that during the show. I will say this. When we're talking about the inherent differences between men and women, which according to science, using air quotes now, a number of liberals and top liberal thinkers are outraged all over the internet this week that the guy behind the Google memo, dared say that there are differences between the sexes based on science. I laugh. But listen, I mean, that's the response that we're getting. And I told you, I think, you know, and I read this piece here in the Quillette where you had four scientists who responded to the memo, and they largely agree with them. These are top leading scientists in the field. Look, I'm not saying it's dispositive that it means this is the way it is. I'm just saying you can't dismiss the science that shows that there are key differences among us. But to every rule, there's an exception. You learn this in law school, by the way. You go to law school, and the joke very quickly becomes to any answer. You know what the answer to a stock answer to any question in law school is? Do you know this? A little bit of law school humor. You want to hear? Okay, it's you ask a question, and then the answer is, it depends. Because to every rule, there's an exception. It's true in law, generally, and it's true in science, regularly. Well, I tell you who is very collaborative and possessing all the typical female characteristics. Well, let me start with who doesn't. Okay, let me start with who does not possess any of those characteristics. And that would be Donald J. Trump, which I'm convinced, by the way, is part of the reason why all these libs, especially, you know, your friends that, you know, that you go to, you know, Chipotle with. You know what I'm talking about? The people you hang there. And they're just like, oh, I hate Trump. He's such a, and you could almost substitute any description that they have for the, you know, toxic masculinity. That's what it is. They just don't, they hate how manly he is. It comes down to that. Just listen to it. You'll hear, sooner or later, you'll hear it. At any rate. So Trump is just this guy, you know, and this is what's peeving everybody about this. The way he's dealing with North Korea, you're not supposed to do this because back in the day, Obama, I mean, he just chose his words so carefully. So you remember the little clip of Trump responding to criticism yesterday of, you know, gosh, wasn't it a bit over the top? You know, that it's just wasn't a bit over top that says that, that said, you know, that North Korea will be met by hellfire and fury or whatever it was. And I'm just going to replay this for you really quickly. This was Trump's response in that press conference.
The people that were questioning that statement, was it too tough? Maybe it wasn't tough enough. They've been doing this to our country for a long time, for many years. And it's about time that somebody stuck up for the people of this country and for the people of other countries. So if anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough.
Yeah, people are questioning the statement. And they're like, hey, you know, it seemed pretty tough, man. And he goes, yeah, well, you know what? Maybe it wasn't tough enough. I mean, see what I mean? Toxic masculinity. Trump would be exactly what you would call, and if you want to get scientific, an alpha male. He prides himself on that. I remember during the campaign, they were talking about how he does that lower jaw protrusion. You know what I'm talking about? How he'll answer a question and stop and stick out his lower jaw. I know it's radio. They can't see this. Alpha male. The gorilla behavior. But you know what? Behind it is a message of strength, projected strength. Well, when we come back, I want to share with you the exact opposite of Donald Trump. The anti-Trump, if you will. Just north of the border. And I have a great clip for you. You don't want to miss this. Sam Rejofsky, back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here. I know you're out on the road probably hurrying home, and watch out for all the idiots. That's my best advice for you. There are crazy, insane people out on the road doing nutty things. Stay out of their way. But gosh forbid, if an accident happens, let me tell you something. Call my friend, Sweet James Bergner. He is the lawyer to call when you need somebody in your corner that will fight for you. If you've been hurt, if you've been injured. And you don't want to go at it alone. You really don't want to. So many people out there try to call the insurance company, deal with the business that hurt them, call the drug company. Hey, your drug messed me up. Don't do any of that on your own. Please get a lawyer who's going to help you. That lawyer is Sweet James. And, you know, if you're healthy and everything's good, just in case, you never know when a friend is going to come up to you and say, hey, look, this just happened to me. You're going to say, I know who to call. Call Sweet James. So here's the number. Keep this handy in your pocket. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right. We're back in the bunker. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation. Reporting for duty. Yes, that was my stack of various articles. I do a lot of research before I go on air and then tend to disregard all of it. So, toxic masculinity. Well, do you have anybody in Canada that you love? I had lunch today with some good friends, husband and wife, and she's Canadian. And I always joke she's like the best thing that's ever come out of Canada, to my knowledge. I love to tease Canada. And you know why? Do you know why that is? Oh, yeah, because I'm an American. Yes, that's the answer. So Canada right now is a super soft target for my ridicule. Yes, Justin Trudeau, Canadian Prime Minister, and my favorite beta non-binary gender fluid politician. So he is asked at a press conference about Trump's remarks, and he immediately begins to poo-poo it. You know, he's like, listen, this is a guy, this is a leader of Canada. You know, if you're complaining about Trump being too much of an alpha, too much toxic masculinity, here's what happens when you're on the opposite end of the hormonal scale. Have a listen.
We need to ensure that we are working together with our allies to find a path forward there, because a nuclear power like North Korea that has shown a level of irresponsibility and
–
fundamental irresponsibility to not use a word like crazy, which I will not use, is of real concern.
Okay. So did we measure that gap where he's trying to find a word, how long that was? That was painful. Folks, that was 100% painful. Thank you, producer Robbie. Always on the ready. That was a 12-second gap. You know, I had to add a little bit of my laughter to it. I didn't want to have some Justin Trudeau dead air. I'd like to keep this job. You know, I don't want to get... I'm a white male, so the only thing I can hang on to is my talent and ability. This was terrible. So what do you want? Who do you want leading a country? And I'm going to tell you a fundamental point here. A projection of strength, of conviction, and even, dare I say, a touch of toxic masculinity will keep you safer than this giant, you know, pink hat wearing excuse of a leader. And before you get all over my case and saying that I'm making fun of women, can you imagine for a minute Margaret Thatcher saying something like that? My gosh, are you joking? Canada, you guys need to get rid of this clown. Sam Rogowski back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Yeah, the email's already coming in. Look, white privilege? White male privilege? Stop it. All of you that are sending me these stupid emails. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to sit here and regurgitate my life story. I grew up with some very hardworking parents, and I'm very fortunate for that. I am. Everybody has their burden to bear in life, and some people's burdens are much heavier than others. And you know what? The fact of the matter is that some people are born small and scrawny and should never be Navy SEALs. And some of those people are men. It has nothing to do with gender. That's it. You're not going to become a Navy SEAL. Some people are born dumb as a rock. And guess what? I kind of don't think that you should pick neurosurgery as a career path. Because you ain't going to cut it. I mean, hell, I don't want you cutting into my brain. I'll tell you that right now. And it has nothing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you had it tough. I'm sorry if that guy over there had privilege and that guy over there didn't. Our society should not be focused on righting these wrongs after the fact. And the left is so obsessed with this to the point of getting totally absurd into these layers of privilege, of white male privilege. There is even now something called residual white male privilege, which happens, as you might imagine, when you're no longer a man. Former Ebony editor Amy Dubois-Barnett went on the new MSNBC show, The Beat. And this was last Friday, so a week ago. I've been waiting for the right opportunity to use this all week. So just hold on to your hats and glasses. I would tell you that the last segment of the show is always where all the fun stuff is. That's why you're lucky. You tuned in at the end, or you've stuck with me the whole hour and are busy drinking red wine or taking anti-anxiety medication. But at any rate, you've hung in there, and you're with me, and we're talking. So here is what Barnett is saying about someone you've heard of before, Caitlyn Jenner, and her residual male privilege. Listen.
Clearly, she's a staunch Republican, and clearly she wants to make that known. She's out here, you know, in her little hat, flaunting her residual white male privilege. It's obvious that the 65 years that she spent as a rich white man is trumping, no pun intended, or all pun intended, the two or three years that she spent as a transgender woman, because that residual privilege is influencing her obvious support of Trump and his, I have to say, you know, homophobic agendas.
Homophobic agendas, in case you didn't miss that last ending there, that last little bit over my asphyxiation. Sorry, am I spitting into the microphone again? Oh my gosh. This is real. Guys, if you're a Democrat and you're reasonable and intelligent, you've got to get rid of these people from your party. These people are like, rocks that are tied to a drowning person, genderless person. I don't care. Your party is suffering. You lost a major defeat to, by your own assessment, a total buffoon. And you've got people like this speaking for your positions, flaunting residual white male privilege. Caitlyn Jenner. No one is immune from this type of slander, so long as they're a Trump-supporting Republican. All right, Sam Rejofsky, it's been a hell of a week. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday, 7 p.m. See you then.